In the Living God We Trust. And we started a mini-series kind of on fasting. I didn't plan this. I didn't want this. I complained about this. We did it anyway. And so I just felt God was leading me to teach on fasting. We started that 3 weeks ago. We finished that today. And as always, we've been jumping off the In God We Trust theme from our founding fathers. It's always good to see how Christians, famous Christians and notable Christians have lived their lives. And our founding fathers were certainly very, very Christian. Even this guy, who is kind of the poster child of the liberal atheist, they always want to try to say this guy was not really a Christian. And while it's true that in the later years of his life, he kind of got caught up in the French bohemian lifestyle and did stray, I would say, from the faith a bit, it's not true that in 1774 he wasn't Christian. He was very, very secure in his faith in that time, and he was overtly Christian. And this is before 1776 on May 24th. And again, this is kind of the same time as last week's message. I was talking about George Washington, but this is when the Boston Port Act happened. That's after the Boston Tea Party, when after they dumped the tea, the response was they put a blockade on Boston. And instantly, our founding fathers reacted, and they reacted first and foremost in church. Thomas Jefferson went home and drafted a resolution for a day of fasting and prayer, which was then introduced in the Virginia House of Burgess, which would be like the House of Commons. And so he drafted it, was read, and it was read into law. And so they called for a day of fasting and prayer. He would do this again when he was governor. He was not shy about calling for fasting and prayer. And that, you know, this country was founded on this idea that we needed God or we weren't going to make it. And there wasn't one single soul in that first Congress that did not believe without God we wouldn't make it. And you can see why. We were going up against the most powerful country on earth, and we're just a bunch of ragtag people, didn't even have a standing army at the time. So everybody was sure that it was going to take a miracle, and many believe it did take several miracles for America to get its independence. And, you know, it was so popular, England did it later with the Brexit, but that's another message. But anyway, so this is very, very true that we were founded on these Christian ideals, and so we're going to take a fast look at fasting here, kind of catch some of you up, some of you who missed the first 2 weeks. I'm not going to spend much time on this. Both sermons are online, but I want to spend some time on this because the purpose of fasting is always one thing. Always one thing. There's one purpose for fasting, and that's to humble ourselves before the Lord. If you're fasting for any other reason, you're doing it wrong. Every time fasting is mentioned in the Bible where it's being described, they oftentimes use the word humble right in the same phrase, fast and humble. We have to humble ourselves before the Lord. The purpose of fasting is to align our spirit with the Spirit of God. That's it. Now, so why do we always talk about fasting and praying? Then what don't we fast for a purpose? No, we pray for a purpose. We fast to humble ourselves. So one thing I want to kind of mention, because I don't think I mentioned it last night, Victoria brought it to my point, was we have to bring ourselves in line with God in order to pray prayers which God honors. And what happens, people say, well, I started fasting, God answered my prayer. What they're really saying was, I align myself with the Lord and I pray the prayer that God gave me. Because in the Psalms, he talks about God gives us the desires of our heart, and we read that wrong. We say, oh, anything our heart desires, he gives us. That's not what he says. He said he'll give you the desires in your heart. He'll place the desires in your heart. And this is the purpose of fasting. God, give me the desires of my heart. I want the right desires. I want holy desires. I want righteous desires. I want you to help me know what you want me to pray for. And that's the purpose of fasting, is to align ourselves with the Lord. And then our prayers, you know, we'll see them answered because we're praying God's prayers. And we cannot bend God to our will. Fasting is not a hunger strike. We can't make God do what we want just by fasting. That's never the purpose of it. The other purpose of fasting is to take us out of the prayer. And this is one of the hardest things I find when I'm praying. I always find myself in the prayer. And even when I don't want to be, even when I shouldn't be, I find myself stuck in there. Let me give you two examples of this, and maybe you can relate. One example is when people come up and ask for a healing. Say, would you pray for a healing for us? And we love doing that. You know, anytime you need, you know, prayer for healing in your life, see Victoria. We'll always spend time with you after the service. We'll pray for a healing. And here's what usually happens. I'm laying hands on the person, and I'm sincere. I want to see a healing in this person's life. But somewhere in the back of my mind, this thought creeps in. Boy, it'd be great if this person were to get healed here. Wouldn't that be great if the township knew that they could come to a place and get healing? Wouldn't that be great for the growth of Spirit Chapel? It kind of ekes in there. I don't want it to. It's not right, but somehow it ends up in there. And before I know, I'm in the prayer. And I shouldn't be there. That's not the purpose of prayer, right? It's not to, you know, get my way or to get, it's supposed to be God's will. And yet I find myself in there. Fasting helps take me out of the prayer. Let me give you the other side of that. Some of you may have had this happen. Someone will say, well, could you pray for me? And you'll say, okay, I'll pray for you. And you lay hands on you. And as you do that, you think, this prayer isn't going to be answered. My prayers are never answered. Right? I can pray for you. I'll do it, but it's not going to do any good. And sometimes we've been thinking this, I know how unrighteous I am. There's no way God's answering my prayer. Do you understand that your righteousness doesn't affect God's power? I mean, it really doesn't. God, the only thing that matters in a prayer is his righteousness, not ours, and his righteousness is always fine. Anyway, but the purpose of it is that. And so if we say, well, God won't answer his prayer because of my righteousness, we've let that slip into the prayer. God doesn't need your righteousness for his power. And so the purpose of fasting is take us out of the prayer. When we come before the Lord and humble ourselves, we remember who God is, and we remember more importantly who we are and where we stand in this. And we're saying, look, God, I'm asking for a miracle, and I know I don't deserve it, and this person doesn't deserve it either, but you love us both. Would you please do this? See, this is the idea behind fasting and prayer. So we have to get ourselves out of the prayer, and that's what it's about. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is the only time in the Bible that I can point to that God specifically says fast. And this happens in Leviticus. He does this after he brings everybody out of the wilderness, or out into the wilderness from Egypt. And he comes and he says, look, I need you all to fast as a nation. And he says this in Leviticus. He says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, on exactly the 10th day of this 7th month is the day of atonement. It shall be a sacred assembly for you, and you shall humble your souls. There it goes. There it always, you know, kind of goes with fasting. And present an offering of fire to the Lord, and you shall not do any work on this same day, for it is a day of atonement. So God says, I need you to come and humble yourselves because I'm going to forgive you all of your sins. That's what the day of atonement was for. Before Jesus came, they had to have special time for that. They had sacrifices and they had things they did to bring themselves back in a right standing with God. That's how it was done. So God calls for a day of atonement. And we talked about this too. We're supposed to be seeking his word that day. We're coming to God in the fast and we're humbling ourselves and we want one thing. I want to hear the voice of God. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. We talked about this last week. I want to hear the voice of God. Is that okay with you? Would you say, I want to hear the voice of God in my life? Most of us would. You know, most of us really want to hear God speak to us. We hear about other Christians doing it. I want that. I want God to speak to me. I have a decision to make. I don't know which way to turn. I don't want to make a wrong decision. How about ask the person who knows everything? That sounds like a good idea. I want to hear God's voice. So we fast, humble ourselves, and pray in order to hear God's voice. And Jesus gives us a picture as well, because when he's fasting and Satan comes to him to tempt him, Jesus throws this scripture back at the devil. Whenever Jesus speaks scripture, it's an important one. Underline it in your Bible. This is from the book of Deuteronomy, one of Jesus' favorite books, and he said this, basically back to Satan. He said, you shall remember the way that your Lord God led you in the wilderness for 40 years, that he might humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart and whether you would keep his commandments or not. See, the fasting brings all this back. Jesus is in the middle of the fast, and he recites this back to the devil. He humbled you and let you be hungry, and then fed you with manna, which you did not know, that he might let you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. There's a lot here, by the way. When Jesus is quoting this back to the devil, this is very powerful, because here's what he said. They came to me hungry, and I fed them in a way they had no way of knowing was coming. See, we all have a plan, right? God, I have a plan for lunch today. I'm going to go to Wagner's, and I know exactly what I want, Lord. I want you to provide that for me. Provide the money so I can buy my lunch, Lord. That would be great. That's what I want to do. Or we're going to go to a barbecue. We have in our mind, here's how you'll feed me, Lord. He says, no, I will feed you my way. Can you trust me for that? Can you trust me that I have ways of answering this that you can't even see? Manna was never seen before. The word manna literally means, what is it? They had no idea what it was. He said, God's going to feed you in a way you can't imagine. Can you trust him for that? Because every day the Israelites had to wake up and look for the manna. They had no way of being fed. And God said, I'm testing you. Can you trust me for this? This is the purpose of fasting. This is what Jesus said. This is the purpose of fasting. Can you learn to trust the Lord for the most basic need in your life? Can you do that? Because if you can, boy, the gates of heaven open. If you can't, we have issues. And that's the whole purpose. Without God's direction, fasting is just useless starvation. And so many people starve themselves to get God's attention. You can't hunger strike your way to righteousness. You just can't do that. God has to direct it, and God has to be there, or you are wasting your time. And the last thing I want anybody to do is starve themselves needlessly, especially with my wife sitting here, because she can't stand when people are hungry. She should be a Jewish mom, because, you know, you need to eat. You need to eat. But, our dog can't go without food. You need to eat. So I wouldn't tell you to starve yourself senselessly. It has to be by direction of God. So let me talk about a couple popular fasts. And I'm just going to apologize in advance, because I'm probably going to step on some toes today. And I'm sorry about that. But and one other thing I want to say as a caveat is I am not, please understand, criticizing or condemning any other church here. I've been involved in a lot of the stuff I'm about to show you. And I just went back to the Bible and say, well, that's a tradition in the church. And some people may really like the tradition. And that's fine if you find comfort in a tradition. But we have to know what's biblical and what's not. And some of the stuff that churches teach, some of the stuff I grew up believing, is simply not biblical, starting with this one. Now, we've talked about this before. We don't participate in Lent. We do participate in fish fries because we like fish. But we don't participate in Lent because it's not in the Bible. You won't find it anywhere. The idea of Lent in the Bible is simply not there. And I love how people are like, well, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So in honor of that, before Lent, we fast as well. Okay, first of all, Jesus did not fast during Lent. We know this because he has a Last Supper right there in the middle of it. So we know that's true. The other thing is Jesus was called in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Lent is not that. If you're going in the wilderness and you're going without water and without food, okay, wow, I want to meet you, but that's not what Lent is, right? Lent is giving up, usually for most people, red meat in place of fish. Hey, that's not even a fast if you like fish, right? I mean, we love fish. That's not even bad. Like, okay, I'll take fish. I'm okay with that. That's not suffering at all. How am I humbling myself before the Lord when I do that? I love the people who give up weird things for Lent. You know, like they're I'm going to give something up for Lent. You know, like cell phones. Okay, no one does that one. That's 40 days. That's too long. But, you know, I'm going to fast for my cell phone for 3 days. Really? That's fast? I had a friend whose father was, frankly, a functioning alcoholic. But no one believed that because every Lent he would give up alcohol. It's like, okay, great. That's wonderful. First of all, I don't believe for a second he gave up alcohol. He just stopped going to the bar on Lent. That was it. It's like that old story I'm sure some of you heard about the two Irish guys went to war and came, one only came back. And so in memory of his friend, he went to their tavern, their pub that they had in their town, and he would always order every Wednesday one drink for him and one drink for his friend Patrick, who was no longer with him. And that became a well-known thing for several 12 years. Every Wednesday he'd walk in, because that was their pub night, and he would order two pints, one for him and one for Patrick. And then one night he walks into the bar, and the bartender says, coming right up, you know, two pints, because not just one today. And the bartender gets to him and says, I'm going to tell you something. Your faithfulness and remembering Patrick every Wednesday has been an inspiration to everybody in the pub. And I'm a little bit disappointed right now in you that you came in here and you forgot Patrick. He says, what are you talking about? That is Patrick's. I'm on the wagon. You know, so sometimes, you know, we kind of manipulate things a little bit in order to say we're doing it. But listen, the purpose of fasting has to be to humble ourselves before the Lord. And I'm also going to say, fasting includes hunger. And unless you can tell me how giving up my cell phone for 3 days makes me hungry and desperate before the Lord, I'm going to have a hard time believing that this is a fast. I just am. I mean, we have to be very specific, because if we want to see results, we have to be following what the Bible tells us gets us results. We can't go modifying it to suit our needs. It's amazing, some of the things. And then we come to this one, Daniel fast. Now, there's actually two different Daniel fasts. That's kind of funny, because they're based on two different sections of Daniel. And I don't believe either Daniel fast, I'm just going to say right up front, is biblical. And let me show you why. Because the first one that we see shows up, and those of you who were here for the Survivor series that we did, I think, 2 summers ago, this was in there. So we talked about this. The very first thing that happens, Daniel and his people are taken, because they're beat by Babylon. Babylon conquers them. And Daniel and his friends are taken. And the idea behind this is they're going to indoctrinate them, and they're going to make them true Babylonians and then release them back to Jerusalem. And if you know the story of Daniel, it's really great, because what happens is instead of him turning Babylonian, he turns to King Hebrew. I mean, it just shows what one man faithful to God can do. But the very first thing they do is they want to show how great they have it here because, you know, they brought them out of their homes. It's, they're scared young men. And so he wants to show just this great generosity. So he offers all of them to eat food from the king's table. And so that sets all this up. Now, the problem is the king's table went like this. The king would eat, and then they would take a portion of it, and they would offer it to the Babylonian gods, and then it would come back to be shared with his court. All the food the Babylonian god didn't eat, which, by the way, is all of it, because Babylonian god was stone. So it would go over there, and that offered a sacrifice, and then would come back over. So what we have now is we have food which was offered to foreign gods, which, according to Hebrew law, they couldn't touch. The other thing was, in there, sausages and all other kind of things they weren't allowed to eat. It was all mixed together in this beautifully spiced food. And Daniel says, I can't eat that. And so Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, well, I'm afraid what my lord king who's appointed me will do. He said, why should he see your faces looking haggard, more haggard than the other ones who are around? He says, he's going to see you're not eating, and guess what's going to happen? Choppy chop, he's going to take my head. I would love to help you out here, Daniel, but I like my head, so I'm not going to do that. So Daniel says, please, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then let our appearance be observed, and then deal with your servants according to what you see. By the way, the first mention, the vegan diet right here, the raw vegan diet. Here we go. It's in Daniel. Now, I don't know if any of you have done the raw vegan diet. I haven't, never would. But I've talked to people who have, and they say the first 3 days are awful. It's just horrible. You know, as your body's trying to adjust, and then they try to convince me, after that, you're fine. I'm not about to try it. You know, they say, well, you're not supposed to eat meat. Well, then God put the wrong teeth in my head because I have canines, and those are built for ripping and tearing meat. So, you know, if I had teeth like a cow, okay, but I don't. I have teeth like a dog, and I'm going to eat like one. So, and ask my wife, I do. So anyway, so I'm not going to do that. But it was a miracle of the Lord, by the way, that after 10 days, they looked better than everybody else. That was a miracle. This is a wonderful thing. This is terrific what Daniel did here. I'm not going to say anything bad about what Daniel did here, but it's not a fast. It cannot possibly be a fast because all he was doing was avoiding sin. He was told by the law, Jesus hadn't come yet, he was told by the law not to eat this food. To eat this food was sinful. He says, well, I don't want to sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm going to avoid this sin. You can't fast by avoiding sin. Think about that for a second. I don't know what the sin in your life is, you know. Maybe it's internet porn. God, I'm going to, you know, this thing I shouldn't be doing in my life and I'm kind of addicted to, I'm going to give it up 3 days to show you how great I am so you'll answer my prayers. And God said, really? I want you to give it up for the rest of your life. What do you mean you give it for 3 days, right? I'm going to give up sinning for 3 days just to show you how good I am. No, avoiding sin is not a fast. Avoiding sin is righteous living. We should be doing that. And so, you know, this cannot possibly be a fast. I don't know where people think, well, God, you know, called the Daniel fast vegetables and water. I don't see it. I don't see it anywhere. So what about the sweets and meats fast? Some of you may have heard about this one, the sweets and meats. I like it because it has a cool, catchy title, right? In fact, we went to a church in Texas where every year, the first of the year, the pastor would get up there and announce the fast the church was going to do for 30 days. And we, you know, got involved in that. And one time it was the sweets and meats. I never heard of that before. You know, he told us it was in Daniel and I went and read it. And okay, that sounds good. But what is sweets and meats? We actually had a big debate. The pastor had to handle the dispute because there's a lot of people fighting over whether or not popcorn counted as a vegetable. And so, you know, is sweets or is it popcorn? If it's caramel popcorn, sure, we get that. But is regular popcorn? So he had actually get up in a pulpit and say, you know, and unfortunately he declared popcorn was not a vegetable. And so we couldn't eat that for this time. What about that sweets and meats? Where does this come from? Well, it comes from later in Daniel. Now, this is in Daniel when Daniel has lived a long life already, and he's been successful, and he's been promoted, and his friends are promoted. So this is way later in his life. And during this point in his life, actually, the book of Daniel changes, and it becomes a very prophetic book because Daniel became very, very sorrowful over what happened in Jerusalem. And God placed a burden on his heart for Jerusalem. And you'll see a lot of times where he's fasting during these times and he's praying for Jerusalem. And so this is part of it. In Daniel 10, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth. Okay, so this is his fasting, except that Daniel doesn't call it a fast. He calls it mourning. Now, this is a little confusing, I'll admit, because sometimes fasting and mourning are mentioned in the same sentence. Sometimes it is, but not Daniel. When Daniel means fast, he says fast. Here's a verse just before that. He said, I gave my attention to the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. When Daniel fasts, and he does, he calls it a fast. And when he's mourning, it's different. See, what happens, he had a prophecy given to him, the chapter after this one. This is the chapter the prophecy comes. The next chapter is when he talks about mourning. When the prophecy comes, he feels bad, and he mourns. And it's a similar, you know, it used to be very traditional, even in this country, that if you lost a loved one, you'd wear black for a period of time. And depending on your tradition, depending on how long you'd wear it, you were in mourning. Doesn't mean you weren't eating. You were in mourning. And this is what he was doing. He said, I was in mourning for Jerusalem. He's not talking about fasting here, because in the verse before, the chapter before, he talks about fasting. But when Daniel fasts, he calls it a fast. And we see this. He says, now, this is what happens after, during the fast. He said, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin, which is part of fasting, while I was still speaking in prayer, Gabriel, the angel, whom I'd seen before, came to me in extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. In other words, his fast lasted exactly one day. He started fasting in the morning. In the evening, Gabriel came. When the Lord spoke to him, he stopped fasting. Makes sense. I'm here to hear God's voice. Gabriel came to tell me God, what God had to say to me. And so now I can stop my fast. My fast is over. And so he fasted for one day. His mourning, on the other way, after that, goes on for 3 weeks. So there's really nothing in the Bible that calls that a fast. And the reason I'm making a big deal about this, I'm afraid a lot of people who go through a sweets and meats fast have received nothing from the Lord. And that's a problem. We call you to fast, you do it, nothing happens. I don't know if that's ever happened in your life, but I would say probably the reason why is because you weren't really fasting. Because when God says fast, he says humble. And I'm not sure how humbling that is. He wants you humbled before him. Rip out your flesh so that you're just before him, spirit to spirit. Not all mourning includes fasting, although, believe me, all fasting, when done right, includes mourning. You will be sorrowful during a fast, at least if you don't like being hungry. Okay, so let's talk about really what matters. What's Jesus say about fasting? Oh, that's Old Testament. What does Jesus say about fasting? Well, Jesus says quite a lot about fasting. And I'm going to start with one of the most popular ones, and that's the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling. Well, they were doing that all the time. It should have said continued grumbling, because they're always grumbling at him. And they said the disciples of John often fast and offer prayers. Good old John the Baptist. His disciples do, and our disciples do. Yeah, kind of setting the scene for him. But yours eat and drink. And Jesus says, well, that's because you can't make the attendants of the bridegroom fast when the bridegroom's with them. And I love how Jesus does it, because you can know these guys, like, I don't know what he just said. But they walk away because they're trying to figure it out. He's like, he said something. I'm not sure what that meant. But Jesus is trying to tell them something. It goes right over their head. He says, look, the day's coming when the bridegroom will be taken away, and then they will fast. But I'm here now. Now, again, the purpose of a fast is to hear God's word. Hello? I'm right here. If Peter needs to hear God's word, you know what he does? He doesn't fast. He says, hey, Jesus, I have a question. See, it's really easy for my disciples to hear my word. I'm here. Emmanuel, you know, God with us. Remember the whole prophecy from Isaiah? Remember that? God's with us. I'm here. You don't need to fast now. I'm here. But what I found encouraging in this verse when I was reading through it is he says, they'll fast when I'm gone. I find that encouraging because, you know, I know that we're a Protestant church, non-denominational, so we're not the Catholic Church. But even so, even though we haven't sanctified, if that's a word, the disciples, we always kind of think they're on a different plane from us, right? You know, Peter, you figure he's walking around, you know, after Jesus died and came back, of course, and the Holy Spirit came. But you get this picture that Peter has walked around, you know, doing the will of God. He never doubted a moment, never had a moment where he didn't do the right thing. He just was walking in the power of the Lord. Same thing with Paul, right? Paul just walked around, snake bite him, ha, 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 and he just keeps going, right? You see these stories of disciples, and you say, man, they just had it so much. They were on point all the time, and boy, I don't feel like that. But Jesus says, no, they weren't. He says, when I'm gone, they're going to fast too. You know why? Because they need to hear my voice. When I'm here, they don't need to, but when I leave, they're going to. Peter fasted. Paul fasted. Some of the reasons why we're not hearing God's voice is we're not doing what they did. It's not because we're not who they are. We're not doing what they did. They fasted. They fasted a lot. When they needed to hear God's voice, they fasted. They knew better that. I find encouragement in that. Okay, one other wrong fast. And this kind of cuts across a lot of things. But Jesus talks about this specifically. This is a fast that people did. They did it for show. And that was very popular in those days. They would fast and they would let everybody know they were fasting. He says, look, don't put on gloomy faces like the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance just so they'll be noticed by men. They're the ones that tell you they're going fasting. I'm on fast, you know. Deliberately go out to eat with everybody. Oh, no, not me. I'm fasting, you know. So, not me. I'm righteous. And by the way, you're not because you're eating. But that's okay. I love you anyway. You know, so he's saying, it's okay. He says, look, here's what I'm saying. They're wanting the attention of men, and they got it, and that's all they're going to get. They've got their reward. Their reward, hunger for nothing. That's what they get. He said, that's not what I'm calling you to do. He said, well, okay, that was the Pharisees, right? That was just them. And we don't do that today. Oh, contraire. In fact, in the Middle Ages, there's a whole branch of the church. It was called the ascetics. I don't know if you've ever heard them or seen anything about them. So if anybody knows where that movie's from, you repent. So some of the things, fasting, by the way, just tipped the iceberg for these guys. Fasting, that was the entry point. That's the ante into the game. But if you really wanted to play the game, you had to get serious about abusing yourself, okay? And they said things like this. These are actual quotes. We must inflict our body with all kinds of pain. That's how we get perfect purity of the soul. All right? How about this one? I have no greater enemy than my body. We should feel hatred towards our body. Okay. I know a lot of us do when we look in the mirror, but that's not actually what they're talking about here. There it says, like, I hate my body. Wish I could not have it. Really? Well, then you'd be dead. So I'm not sure. And then this one here, I love this one. I whip myself with iron chain 3 times a night. 3 times a night. Why? Once for his sin, once for the people's sin, and one for the church's sin. Every night, whipped himself with chains. And you think, wow, these guys were wackos, right? This is, must be some kind of weird sect you found. Really? Because they're the who's who of the sainthood. All these quotes came from these guys, including this guy with the birds, St. Francis of Assisi. You've heard of him, right? And this was part of the church. It was part of the church's teachings, and it came down to us. You know, we may have broken off from the Catholic Church, but boy, we took a lot of their traditions with us. And there's this idea that if you need to be holy and pure, you need to suffer. And if you suffer, then you'll be holy and pure. And so there's this thing we take with us into fasting. I want to suffer. And I want to do more than that. I want to suffer all kinds of ways. Not everybody. I know some of you, you know, flee suffering like, you know, a bird flees fire. But a lot of us in our hearts think if we just suffered more, we'd be more righteous. And I understand this comes from Scripture a little bit, but it comes from a misunderstanding of Scripture. Peter says this, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves with the same attitude. Inasmuch as you participate in sufferings of Christ, you will be overjoyed when his glory gets revealed. Right? So this idea that Christ suffered, so we should suffer. Isn't that why we endure the passion plays? Come on, be honest. And we go and rent the passion and watch this horrible, sadistic movie. Why? Well, Jesus suffered, so I'm going to suffer by watching it. It's the dumbest thing. You guys know I hate passion plays. Never do one here. But for a lot of reasons. But we suffer through that, right? And we suffer through that because Christ suffered. If Christ suffered, we have to suffer. And we're going to make ourselves suffer. We're going to force ourselves to do that. But only God can purify you. You can't create suffering which will purify you. You're missing out on the other verses of 1 Peter, where he says, look, if you're reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and all of God rests upon you. If anyone suffers as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Therefore, those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls for the faithful. Basically, he's saying, if somebody makes you suffer for God, count it as glory. That doesn't mean you can go count glory by just making yourself suffer. You can't do that, right? God will redeem you. God will purify you. You can't just, you know, put yourself in a ninja blender and press purify. You can't make yourself suffer to the point where you're going to be more holy and more righteous. You're just wasting your time, and God's watching it and going, I have no idea what they're doing. He's just watching it. Okay, you're suffering. You know, this does show up in the Bible. You know where this shows up in the Bible? It shows up in the Bible, the prophets of Baal. on Mount Carmel when they're facing off against Elijah, the prophet. They're cutting themselves and bleeding, trying to get their God to notice them. And what does Elijah do? He mocks them for it. You don't need to bleed before God notices you. And you don't need to suffer for God to notice you. That's not what the suffering the Bible's about. That's if we, you know, present trends continue, and 50 years from now Christians are persecuted, then you'll know what suffering for the Lord means. We don't know what that means here, really. Not yet. Maybe coming, but we don't know yet. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that self-inflicted pain purifies you. Jesus went on after that to say this: you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so your fasting will not be noticed by men, but your Father, who is in secret with you, and your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you in open. He says, this is what fasting is for, you and me. The purpose of fasting is to bring you to the Heavenly Father. That's it. If you're fasting for any other reason, you're doing it wrong. You need to be careful that we don't try to turn this into, I'm more righteous than you, for I fast. Don't you? Ha, ha, ha. Right? That's not the purpose of fasting. God says, if that's you, you're starving yourself for nothing. You may lose weight, but that's all you're going to get out of it, because I'm not helping you. Fasting's purpose is always to humble ourselves so we can hear His voice. That's the purpose of fasting. How important is it for you to hear the voice of God? Because that's really what it comes down to. If you're saying, boy, I'm praying and my prayers are never answered. Okay. I'm praying and I never feel the Lord. I hear people talking about hearing the voice of God or God's leading. I don't get that. Okay. Maybe it's time to humble yourself before the Lord. Oh, what else is there? Isn't there some other verse that I could use instead? Because I don't like that one. I don't like that one at all. And yet Paul did it, and Peter did it, and Moses did it, and Jesus Christ did it. Well, okay, but not me. What else you got? We can't get out of this. Look, the rules for fasting are really simple. Fasting does not replace obedience. Last week's sermon. You need to go listen to that. Fasting's private. Now, look, you don't have to, like, you know, hush, hush. And, you know, oh, it's a secret. I can't tell anybody. But you know. You know, why you're fasting, and sending out emails to everybody not to offer you food because you're fasting is not a good idea, right? Don't do that. Fasting should include real hunger. I'm just going to say it. If you're not hungry, you ain't fasting. I don't know how we humble ourselves before the Lord by giving up Facebook. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't call you to give up Facebook for a month. That's very possible. I know somebody who was called by the Lord to give up TV for a month, and he did, and he came back to TV, and he was shocked with what he saw. Because God had really spoken to him. That was great, but that's not a fast. God may call you to all kinds of obedience. I'm not saying it isn't, but I'm just saying we need to know what fasting is, because otherwise we're going to do something that we think we should hear God's voice and we didn't. Where were you, Lord? I tried that. I tried that fasting thing. It didn't work. Well, good news. If you haven't been hungry, you haven't tried it. Because the purpose of fasting is that you feel the hunger. Because when you feel the hunger, you come to the Lord and say, I know you can feed me. And I trust you to feed me. But what I really need is your word. Everything else is secondary. I need your word. And then fasting is meant to humble yourself. And finally, typically, in almost every case, fasting is one day. I feel about fasting, I guess, the way about working out in the gym. I listened to a middleweight champion once, was at a press conference, and he was asked how long he worked out in the gym. And he said 3 hours. And there was like laughter. Do you know, your opponent's working out 10 hours a day? He says, my opponent's lazy. If you know what you're doing, you can't work out for more than 3 hours. I think sometimes, you know, we have these long fasts. It's because we're lazy. Yeah, I can go a very long time giving up Facebook. I really can. If that's my fast, bring it on. 40 days, 40 nights, easy. I can do that. That's easy. Let me go give up something else. Let me give up crab cakes. All right, I can do that forever. I like crab cakes, but I can give them up forever. If we're not hungry, we're not fasting. And if you are hungry, you find yourself humble before the Lord very quickly. And then he speaks to you. So it's very possible they just haven't done it right. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I prepared this sermon expecting this moment in the sermon for me to announce a church-wide fast. And the reason I was going to do that is because I felt very strongly God is speaking to this body that we need to fast and pray. And then I got to this point, fasting is private, and I thought that kind of flies in the face of that, doesn't it? So I'm not going to call for a fast, but what I am going to say is I believe God wants to speak to this church and speak to every member of this church. And when I say member, I mean the people here. I believe that God wants to speak to us. I believe there's questions on your heart that you're bringing to God and you're not getting an answer. And God's saying, I'm going to answer you, but I need you to fast and pray. And I'm going to challenge you to pray about that. And if God leads you to fast, fast and pray. Now, I would encourage you to do without food during your fast, but not liquids. You kind of have to get to a special place spiritually to go without food and water. And, you know, it not maybe a bad idea for you to put vitamins in your water or something like that. That's fine, just as long as you're hungry. You need to be hungry. If you're not hungry, you're not doing it right. You need to be hungry. And I would encourage you to start out just one day. You know, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. You break your fast at evening, maybe. But go that whole day and pray before the Lord. I believe he'll speak to you if you do that. And I believe he's calling us to do that. And that's why I also believe, by the way, it's great to do this on the Sabbath. You know, the Day of Atonement, they were told not to work. I don't know about you, but when I don't eat, I don't like moving around very much. Okay? So it's really a great time to do it when you're not working. It doesn't have to be the Sabbath. I'm not going to work today, and I'm just going to fast and pray. The other thing is, I have in my life fasted without meaning to when I'm working. I've skipped meals. That's not fasting. That's not the same thing. The idea of fasting is to humble yourself before the Lord. And if you're busy doing other things, then you're not doing that. And so it's nice to take that day off, don't work, and humble yourself before the Lord and fast and pray and basically say, God, this was what's on my heart. What's on yours? I believe that God is calling us to that fast. The question is, will you answer? Or will next month you still complain that you can't hear the voice of God? Because the choice is ours. Would you all please pray with me?